very happy to welcome to our show Sansara Taylor. She's a co-convener of the group RefuseFascism.org, who writes for the Revolution newspaper. And Refuse Fascism organized nationwide protests this past Saturday calling for the removal of President Trump and Vice President Pence from office. And I know there's a lot of support for that very thing. And Sansara, thanks for coming on the program tonight. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. It's great to be with you, Scott.
So just say a few words about Refuse Fascism. I interviewed some folks from the group when I was in Washington, D.C. on inauguration weekend back in January, and had some interesting discussions. And it was a wild time during that couple of days with direct action protests around the inauguration itself, followed by that massive, historic Women's March on Washington the following day. But anyway, tell us about Refuse Fascism and its beginnings.
Yes. So RefuseFascism.org is a group that came together shortly after the election of Donald Trump, or the victory of Donald Trump. I hate to give him even the election, since he lost the popular vote by several million. But we came together recognizing that the Trump-Pence regime is a fascist regime. They campaigned as fascists, they have assembled a cabal, a cabinet of fascists, and now that they're 6 months into their rule, they've been moving very rapidly to implement what can only be described as a fascist program in this country. And by that, I'm referring to the ripping up of traditional democratic rights, the whipping up of a violent xenophobic white nationalism, the open misogyny, and the targeting by the state as well as by extra legal mob of those that this regime deems undesirable, the banning of Muslims and the hate crimes against Muslims, the massive detentions and roundups and terror from ICE against immigrant families and tearing them apart, as well as the escalated bigotry and acts of violence against immigrants from the Trump social base. And we could go down the list around the attacking women's rights and the women's reproductive rights, as well as the normalization and celebration of misogyny and sexual predation. There's a whole very ugly program. And so RefuseFascism.org is people from very different perspectives. I'm a communist and a revolutionary. There are people who work with us who are coming from very different perspectives, Christians, Muslims, Jewish, atheists, Bernie Democrats, Hillary Democrats, people who never were political before, who are standing together and saying this is a fascist regime. It is illegitimate because it's fascist. And it's up to us, the people who live in this country, to rise up and take the responsibility to drive it from power. There are millions and millions who are sick at heart, who are outraged, who are terrified. Like you said, millions came out the day after the inauguration and marched against this regime. If we act, and if we don't just come out once and just around one issue, but with the demand the whole regime must go and we stay in the streets, we have the power to create the kind of political crisis that would force them from power. And if we don't, we are conceding not just people in this country, but all over the world to a future of a fascist America, which is a complete nightmare and catastrophe for humanity.
Thank you for that summary, Sansara, about the group RefuseFascism.org. I want to talk more about the issue of fascism and the program that you and the group have for bringing attention on these threats to our democracy. But say a word, if you would, about the protests that were organized around the country in 18 different cities just this past weekend on Saturday.
Yeah, I'd love to. So as you said, in 18 cities, maybe 19, across the country, people took to the streets on Saturday, July 15th, around the single unifying demand that the Trump-Pence regime must go. And these were very important. It was, I think, in three ways these were very important. This was the first time in this country since this fascist regime has been elected or in power that people have come out on a national scale and not just marched for science or for women or for immigrants, although all of those are essential, but said the regime as a whole must go. The regime as a whole is illegitimate, and took it upon ourselves to act on that demand. And so this was, you know, here in New York City, we had many hundreds out in the streets. In Los Angeles, the same. People marched in San Francisco, people marched in Atlanta, people marched in Houston. And one of the very, in some ways, harrowing, but also underscored the importance of what we are doing, characters of the day is that in many cities, including here in New York, in Los Angeles, in San Francisco, in Seattle, in Portland, and other places where people marched, and especially in Houston and Cleveland, so-called alt-right, really Christian fascist militia types and NRA white supremacist types came out and counter-protested. And in Cleveland and in Houston, they came out armed and they came out carrying the Confederate flag. And I think this is a slice and a taste of Trump America, what has been let out of the basement, what's been whipped up and unleashed in terms of this extra legal lynch mob type, take our country back, as in back to a white supremacist society force in this society. And so these were protests demanding that the whole regime must go. They were very courageous. They stood up. They were not intimidated. People held themselves together, and they marched all across this country. And I think this was the put this demand on the map in a new way, and before people in this country, and before the power structure in this country, and before the people of the world. And there's tremendous amount more to accomplish to win the actual goal of driving them from power. But this was very important, and it tempered and it forged a new beginning in this country. And they were very diverse, these outpourings. And they were I think people everywhere took a great deal of heart who were part of it. And then people who we passed here in New York City, where I am, we marched through the streets and people in the cafes joined in the chants and they were cheering and clapping in the outdoor summer cafes. I mean, you just saw the sentiment that this was giving expression to, but that has to grow.
We're speaking with Sansara Taylor, co-convener of the group RefuseFascism.org. We're talking about protests advocating the removal of Trump and Pence from power over this past weekend, and the things the group has been advocating over the months since the November election. And Sansara, I just wanted to ask you about the word fascism, because certainly it's used in politics for many, many years, decades. Sometimes it's overused to, you know, generally condemn somebody. But what in particular, and get into a little detail here if you'd like, about what characteristics that you see in the Trump regime that speak to you of a genuine fascism and not just, you know, some extremely conservative policies that have certainly been a hallmark of Republican administrations and certainly Democratic administrations as well over the years. But, you know, maybe not necessarily across the line into fascism. What's unique about Trump, do you think?
Well, I think that's a really important question. And I guess I want to speak to what's unique about Trump and Pence and their whole regime. I would include Sessions. I would include, you know, Bannon, certainly, and Steve Miller, certainly, in this. But also you said what would distinguish them from previous Republicans who've done extremely repressive things. And I think there's been a growing strain of fascism in American politics. And it's been building. I think there have been several different streams of this. There's been what I would call a Christian fascist stream, which is the fanatically religious political form of Christianity that wants to impose the literal Bible and replace secular government with Christian government, Christian fundamentalist government. And I think, you know, Pence he represents more of that strain. You have the Tea Party type strains, which came out a lot in opposition to the fact that there was a black president, and you had a lot of this reintroduction of more open white supremacy and the idea that, which Trump was a part of, that Obama was somehow not legitimate because he was allegedly not born here and because he was un-American because he was black, and these sentiments. So you've had different, And you've had the I don't know, there's probably different, the Giuliani-type wing of highly, in post-9/11, highly repressive Patriot Act, stripping away of civil liberties and dragnet spying and all of this. So you've had moves in this direction, but I wouldn't have called the previous administration's fascist outright. Trump and Pence really are the seizure of the full reins of power of a fascist government. And they haven't fully consolidated fascism, so we still have the right at this point to be out in the streets protesting in 19 cities like we were on Saturday. But they are moving very quickly themselves, and in what they've unleashed at the state level and among their supporters, to really bludgeon and eliminate all opposition. And so by fascism outright, I would say there's many different definitions, but I would think the core of it is it's an openly, blatantly dictatorial form of rule and a terroristic form of rule where there is absolute power in the hands of the state with little or no protection and rights of the people and recourse of the people, especially those who are deemed undesirable by that government. And so you have things like Trump, who is he fires even people in very powerful sections of the rulers of this country, the head of the FBI or the acting attorney general. He'll fire them if they get in his way. You know, he's above the law. He will reign supreme. One of his top advisors, Stephen Miller, come out when the courts initially blocked his Muslim ban, and he came out and said, you know, these courts, they're acting with too much power. And they said the executive has enormous power and will not be challenged, and the courts are not supreme. And never mind the fact that they're literally called the Supreme Court. He said that doesn't matter, you know, and they're disregarding the courts at the same time they're remaking the courts and appointing extreme and fascistic judges who will then back and uphold the things that they're doing. So it's, you know, it's attacking even sections of the ruling structures that oppose him and would be any check on his absolute authority. But then it's also the unleashing of xenophobic nationalism and misogyny and bigotry that is open and unvarnished and indiscriminate, with no protection and no recourse for those who are being targeted. And we're in the early stages of it, but it's moving very rapidly. And so you have things like the language that Trump launched his campaign with, calling Mexicans rapists and demonizing a whole people based on their religion. And then you have the person he put in charge of ICE, John Kelly, coming out and calling the people who are crossing the Mexican border filth. Now, this is the language that the Nazi used against Jewish people. It's the demonization and dehumanization of whole targeted groups. And then what follows that is the elimination. And these people are talking about openly deporting and terrorizing millions and millions of people who are immigrants in this country and unleashing violence against them, both legal and extra-legal, and highly repressive measures against people who have taken to the streets in protest, and giving backing to the police as they carry out violence and brutality and even murder against black and brown people. There's been, obviously, that didn't start with Donald Trump. There's been struggle against police murder that's been growing for years, but Trump came in and Jeff Sessions came in and they said, let's remove all the consent decrees. Let's remove all the constraints and reforms that have been put on the police after they've been caught on camera killing people and getting away with it. And they are passing laws, they're reinstituting mandatory minimums, and they're passing laws to, quote, back the blue, which is to give even more unrestrained authority and backing to the police when they brutalize and violate people's rights and even kill them, especially black and brown people. So I think, you know, as a whole, fascism is a qualitative change in the form of government, and it is one that closes off all space for people to oppose and challenge it. And we're seeing that imposed, you know, step by step, but very rapidly. And so it has a lot of different particular dimensions. That's why I took a little time to walk through it. But in its core, it is an openly and blatantly terroristic form of dictatorship that's unrestrained by the people or any other section of the power structure.
We're speaking with Sansara Taylor, co-convener of the group RefuseFascism.org, and we're talking about the group's recent protest and advocacy for the removal of Trump and Pence from power. And Sansara, we live in a one-party state where Republicans now control the House, the Senate, have a majority of conservative justices on the Supreme Court, and of course, Trump in the White House. But given all that power, there may be more than a few observers who would say, with so many scandals erupting daily, that this regime is quite weak and ineffectual, and certainly appears to be incompetent as we go through these months since you took office in January. But given, you know, that debate about whether these folks are weakened, what is it that you see as some of the most immediate threats? And you've gone through some of them, of course, in your just discussion we just heard. But what are some of the maybe most critical threats that you see from the Trump administration?
Well, I think, you know, first to speak to the scandals and the question of them being ineffectual that you mentioned, I think, look, it is so blatant that these people are, I mean, they just lie and lie and lie. This is something I hadn't talked about yet, but they just lie and lie, and they lie to your face, and they tell you they're lying. I mean, they tell you everything else is fake. And they're not only, you know, these people aren't only trying to get away with particular lies. You know, George W. Bush lied about WMDs, and it cost millions of lives of Iraqi people and others. You know, that was a horrible lie. But Donald Trump is not only lying, he's working very fast and very consistently to erase and eliminate the basis for anybody to evaluate what's true, what's objectively true, the idea that you would go to the evidence, the idea that you could ever, you know, with George W., eventually people proved the lie. And now that everybody came out, and I know that Fox News never acknowledged it, and the Trump supporters never really let this penetrate their thinking, but the world as a whole came to grips with the fact that that was a lie. With Trump, it's true because he says it's true, and anybody else telling you anything else is fake. You know, and this is a whole different level of that. So, it is actually one of the dangers, just to ask about the particular dangers. But I went on a bit of a tangent. The point I wanted to make is that that the scandals, the lies, the Trump Jr. meeting with the Russian lawyer, I mean, all this that he lied about and lied about, all this, they are obviously very dishonest and extremely unethical and probably in violation of many criminal statutes. But I don't think they're ineffectual. And I think that while this makes them vulnerable, it also makes them more dangerous. They are like cornered rats, and they will lash out, and they are on the attack. Trump is on the attack even while he's under attack. And so I think, you know, they're dangerous. And you imagine if there was something like a major incident like 9/11, a horrific incident like that, how it was seized down under George Bush to implement the whole Patriot Act, highly repressive, stripping away people's rights and putting people, anti-war activists, on no-fly lists and all kinds of other things that happened. You know, this Trump administration, this regime, could seize on any incident, real or imagined, to really bring down the hammer in a qualitatively more repressive way than we've seen yet. And I think that this is something that they would, or launch a military assault, or nuclear war, or all these things that they're itching to do. So I think, you know, they're very dangerous. At the same time, they are vulnerable because they're exposed. And so I think it underscores why RefuseFascism.org is so pitbull oriented towards, it's us, the people who are outraged. It's us, the people who are horrified. It's us, the people who see this and can't believe this is happening in 2017. To say we have to stop waiting for somebody in power to hold them accountable. We have to stop waiting for 2018 or 2020 to think that if we wait that long, we can vote them out. The fact is there's enough of us and there is a need to drive them out now. And the fighting at the top, the exposures and the vulnerability and the dishonesty and the scandals can be a crack through which the struggle of the people breaks through. But the people have to act. No fundamental change, no positive change has ever been won in the history of this country for oppressed people, for people who are targeted and under attack, for justice and for a better world without people putting themselves on the line to struggle to change things and getting off the sidelines. Stopping fascism is not a spectator sport. And so, you know, there's many dangers we could talk about. The cutting of the health care. This will murder people. This will murder, you know, thousands and thousands of people. The global gag order that's already in effect, already cutting funding to any agency that deals with aid anywhere in the world that gets U.S. funding. If they even refer a woman, forget about offering a woman, but even refer a woman to where she could find an abortion somewhere else, even if her life is at stake, if they do that, they lose their funding. So this means all these places all over the world were just gagged. We're just gagged, and all these women, millions of women are going to be denied reproductive health care. Many millions are going to be forced to have children against their will, which is a form of enslavement. And many thousands are going to desperately seek out unsafe abortions because they need to have an abortion, and they're going to lose their lives. This is a death sentence already. So we could go down the line. They've removed, I mean, the environmental protections. The EPA, he put Scott Pruitt, a climate change denier in charge of the Environmental Protection Agency. They've removed a record number of regulations. Over 30 regulations have been removed. They're accelerating fossil fuel extraction and the burning of fossil fuels. They're accelerating deep sea drilling. They're accelerating all the things that are burning up our planet. At the same time, they're firing and gagging the scientists and defunding the research so that we don't even know the rate and the scale and the impact of the damage they're doing anymore. Mm. And this is happening very quickly. So the dangers are, I mean, there are many. We could spend a lot of time talking about them, but I do want to come back to the need for each of us. What we do, there is no neutral in a time of rising fascism. Either you're fighting it and joining with others to drive it out, because fascism can absorb different acts of resistance. Until it's driven from power, it will continue to press ahead. We have to come together and drive it out, whether that's donating money, signing up on the email list at refusefascism.org, joining in the protest, joining this movement in different ways, raising your voice. You're either fighting against it or you're allowing it, because they're moving forward. There's no neutral on a moving train, to quote William Kunstler, who is a great people's lawyer. Go ahead.
Sansara, we only have a couple of minutes left, but I want to make sure to get in one important thing that was part of your program of protests over the last several days, and that had to do with targeting Fox News as a propaganda outlet for this extremist agenda of the Trump-Pence regime. Tell us a little bit about this 100 hours of protest that you staged at Fox News, and why target Fox News? Why do you believe that Fox deserves some of this negative attention? And we only have about a minute or two, so we don't have
far. Okay, well, Scott, thanks for asking about it. We did do 100 hours of 24/7 around-the-clock protests outside of Fox News as part of building for these nationwide protests to demand the Trump-Pence regime must go. And we went there because Fox has been the biggest megaphone and mouthpiece to every outrageous thing that the Trump-Pence regime has tried to do. When Trump came out and said he wanted to waterboard people accused of terrorism and their families, Fox News celebrated that. They had him on, they asked him questions, they gave it an approving nod. I could give many, many, many examples, but Fox has been his biggest bullhorn, and it's frankly built up a social base over years, which has fed into why Trump could even come to power. So we were there to call out their lies, and we were there to set an example. We were there 24 hours a day for 100 hours to set an example of the kind of sacrifice and struggle that many more people need to engage in, including looking towards this fall when millions need to fill the streets night after night and day after day, refusing to leave, demanding, and not stopping until the whole regime is driven from power. People did it in South Korea. They did it in Tahrir in Egypt. There is no reason people in this country cannot drive out a hated regime. And there's every reason, in the name of humanity, for 7 billion on this planet, why we need to take the actions now to make that happen.
Yes, the South Korea example is the latest in people power that move mountains. You're right. We're out of time, Sansara. Do leave our listeners with the website for, refusefascism.org. But quickly mention the resources there, and then we'll have to say goodnight and make way for the next program.
Yeah, go to refusefascism.org and make sure you get signed up on our email list. Give us your phone number. Get organized wherever you are in this country. There's a role for you, whether you can do it online, whether you can do it out on the streets, whether you make art, whether you can help develop an app for this. I mean, there's a million different ways everybody has a role to play. And so connect with us, refusefascism.org, or on Twitter, @refusefascism, or on Facebook, /refusefascism. And, you know, let's do this together. Thanks so much for having me on, Scott.
Thank you, Sansara, and we'll stay in touch. And good luck with all the work out there. Take care.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. That's Sansara Taylor, co-convener of the group RefuseFascism.org.